Welcome to Show and Tell with the Two Mortgage Guys. We come to you live every Tuesday on Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Today we've got Billy Cardwell with Aurora Financial Services with us, so don't want to miss this. Stay tuned.
Billy is a certified financial planner and the founder of Aurora Financial Strategies in Kokomo. He began working in the financial industry in 2008, formed his own firm in 2016 to better service clients. His purpose is to help friends and clients plan and create the life of their dreams, free from stress and anxiety about money. When not in the office, Billy can be found on a soccer field with his daughter, Rory, baseball field with his son, Gavin, or on a golf course with his wife, Allie. Welcome to the show, Billy.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sorry, I got tongue-tied.
Hey, it's great to have you back. If you're watching, we did a show with Billy. Well, we would just say it was like what number? Like back in the beginning, like number early, six, yeah. Or so.
Yeah, it's always fun to do these with you guys. It's fun to do things with your friends and continue to have conversations and hopefully get some information out there.
Well, we certainly appreciate you. We thought, there's always things to talk about specific to different industries. And from your perspective, we talk with our clients about financial planners and, you know, what they're doing with their money. And one of the things that comes up to us a lot is, you know, should I be paying extra on my mortgage?
Yeah.
Should I be investing that money? And we know that the answer to that might vary depending on the markets. And what's happened this year is these rates have come from historic lows at 3% back in January to look where we are now in the low sevens.
Yeah.
So maybe your answer is different today. So let's just kind of hit that head on, Billy. Like, what's give us a scenario where maybe it makes sense to invest versus paying extra.
Right. And like, that's really two different topics as well within itself, because we've got one that's putting money down. How much do I put down? Versus paying this thing off versus getting a mortgage or how much extra should I pay? And it all kind of revolves back around the math, right? Debt, a mortgage is just a math problem that has some emotions tied to it because you owe somebody some money. And so, you know, like when rates are 2.75 and you've got a 30-year mortgage, there's no guarantees when it comes to investing. Like, that's not something we can sit here and say, oh, you're going to make way more than that. I'd feel pretty comfortable investing my dollars and earning a better rate than 2.75% over 30 years.
Yeah.
That being said, the math changes as 5, 6, 7% interest rates are around. And so some of the quick conversations we've been having are, hey, you know, I've got this much money that I know I want to put down. I want to avoid PMI, or I want to put 30% down to get to a better payment. Part of the debt conversation is how much can you afford, right? And the best advice I can possibly give you as a financial advisor is if you spend a little bit less than you make, you're generally going to be okay, right? So if we get those payments in line, from there, it's how much extra should you pay, or what should I do with this extra money that I still have? Should I use it towards paying off extra on the loan, or should I use it towards an investment account? And so there's a lot of factors that come into play with that. And if you were looking for the purely mathematical answer, it's, hey, can I get an interest rate, or can I get a return larger than the interest rate on this loan? And so, again, at 2.75%, it's still not 100% guaranteed that you're going to do better than that, but I like our chances. At 7%, that starts to become a little bit more of a tricky calculation. And so from a pure dollar return standpoint, we have clients that are still not putting extra towards those loans. They're continuing to invest. But there's a chance that they don't come out quite as far ahead if they don't do better in the market. That being said, there are some other reasons why you maybe don't want to put extra down on the mortgage. And some of that would be liquidity needs, right? If you want to stay liquid, really the only way to get money back out of the house is to either A, sell the house, or B, get a home equity line on top of what you have. And so if you take your liquidity concerns and you say, okay, I need to have this much money ready and available to potentially weather a storm and an emergency fund. If something bad were to happen, you have money sitting aside to go access, or to take advantage of opportunities, whether those are in business, buying rental properties, there are the people that have access to funds, have access to doing more things that they're potentially interested in.
Right. Hey, and one quick on that, because you nailed it on there, was like part of that is too, like with mortgage interest rates at 7%, and nobody really knows where they're going to go. But sure, at that same point, more than likely, they'll drop back down sometime. So at that same point, instead of putting that money on the mortgage, you put it into the investment side of it that has that possibility of making that or more.
And just like I tell clients when they ask me what's going to happen in the stock market, and your clients ask you what's going to happen to mortgage rates, I always tell them, like, my crystal ball is still broken, guys.
Yeah.
I can't tell you exactly what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know that I can control how aggressive we are, the amount of risk you take in the portfolio, what you pay, and how we set that up. And if we do that correctly, that gives you the best chance to succeed. It's been interesting. One of the things we've heard going around is, interest rates could stay exactly where they are for now. And if you find the property that you absolutely love and you want to go buy, let's go get it if you can afford to do so. And then if interest rates drop, we'll just refinance. But if interest rates go up, you'll feel like you got a heck of a deal, right?
Right, yeah.
One thing that will be constant is that things will change. But if you can afford to do so, finding that right property, your home doesn't have to be your very best investment, because you're going to consume it while you have it.
Right.
And we tell clients that a lot. Like, you don't have to get the best deal to feel like you won in the house, right? You're going to want to be somewhere where you enjoy. And if it happens to be a pretty good investment on top of that, that's icing on the cake.
You get the best of both of it if you can do it that way.
Yep.
I think for a lot of people, they have this notion or this, they want to pay their mortgage off.
Yeah.
But why do you really want to pay your mortgage off? I mean, there's really a couple of reasons, right? Either so that you just no longer have that monthly debt. And for most people, that's not a luxury they have in the majority of their life. That's something that they strive to have in retirement years, right? Like, I know I'm going to make X amount of dollars in retirement. Therefore, this mortgage payment needs to go away. So with your strategy of investing that money, look, when they're ready to retire, they can still pull money out of that investment account, pay that mortgage off.
Right.
Had they been paying extra all along, yeah, they're going to get there naturally quicker. But like you said, then they have liquidity issues. There's just no quick and easy way to get to that money or that equity if they need to. And today, if you call and you say, hey, Ryan, I need to pull out 50 grand because something happened or whatever, guess what? The cost of borrowing that 50 grand is higher than it was.
It is. And what's interesting on that is keeping flexibility or providing optionality with your money generally leads to you being able to weather those storms or take advantage of opportunities like we just talked about. And so the emotional weight of having a debt and that monthly payment, and realistically, once you pay off the mortgage, let's do easy math in my head, you're paying $1,000 a month. Heck, that's $12,000 less a year once you pay that off that you get to go spend on other things or save somewhere else. And so that's a neat thing that if you're really pressing towards paying off that loan, now you've got this extra cash flow. But the difference is, and a lot of clients that may have a 3% or a 4% mortgage, them paying extra right now on that loan that's still at that lower interest rate, that's years and years and years of paying off that loan. Now you have an extra $1,000, 10 years sooner than you would have per month. But if you would have been saving that 500, 600, 700, whatever that number is per month, and earning a decent rate of return there, you'd have a pot of money that's considerably larger than $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year. That number would then grow and let compound interest grow on itself. A 10% rate of return on $100,000 is nice. It's 10 grand and nobody's going to get mad at $10,000. Right. $10,000 won't dramatically affect or alter your retirement. But if you continue to accumulate that money and get an interest rate and an interest rate and an interest rate where that balance grows to $1 million, again, for easy math in my head, 10% return on $1 million is now $100,000. And so once compound interest starts to take place and you start having the money grow on top of the money, it's a lot easier to get there on 30 years of saving than if you pay off that mortgage in 20 and now you have 10 years of saving. You have to save so much considerably more dollars just to get to where you were originally.
Yeah.
Nailed it. That's just like going back, like Ryan just said a minute ago, that same thing. You can wait, keep saving that money. And then if you decide to retire and you still owe whatever, 30 grand,
right,
there's a very good possibility you got way more than that. And then you pay it off if you want to.
And every situation's different, right? And so what's tough about throwing blanket statements out there is there are people that may listen to this show that are in a situation where paying off the mortgage is considerably better, not only emotionally, but also mathematically, depending on where they are, what they owe, and all those type of things. And so what I would kind of recommend people do is find somebody that'll help walk them through the calculation or do the work and figuring out what everything is that kind of adds up to that. And typically, like, how we work with clients is, you know, you're never on the clock when you give us a call. If you come in, we can help you do the things you're going to do. Or we ask that if you think we did a good job, please tell somebody. We also ask that if you think we did a bad job, they keep it to themselves, and that goes well. But at the same time, like, if we can help them walk through that part of the calculation, that typically opens up the door for us to help them in other things. So we don't charge for those type of consultations. But finding somebody that you trust, finding somebody that you can have that conversation with to say, hey, what's the best case for me? Here's how much risk I'm comfortable taking. Here's how important it is for me to get out of debt. Here's all these things. I can always show our clients what the math says, but I'm never going to make that choice for them. If it's right. So important for them to get out of debt, I'll say, hey, here's what we're giving up, but let's get you out of debt. Your financial advisor shouldn't get mad at you for paying off the things that you
have. Right. Because life happens, right? We see it all the time, and then it does. So when it does like that, that's where, like, Ryan and I have been doing this, like you, that it's nice when that client comes back to you, right? And they're like, hey, I got to figure something out. And they want to sit down with you and get where they're at, get that whole picture, because we're part of their financial picture in the long run.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. It's working well back and forth together and getting each other the information we need to help our end clients give themselves the best possible chance to succeed is all we can ask for.
Right.
So Billy, if somebody's watching this and they've been fortunate enough or strategic enough to where they've been applying money towards their mortgage balance above and beyond the minimum, right? Which, in all honesty, Steve and I have both been in this business a long time. We've always recommended people when they take out a mortgage to buy a home that they're in a position to do that, right? But let's say we motivated somebody today and they're going, all right, well, never thought about it. Taking that money and investing it. So if it's five, let's say it's $300 a month they've been putting extra on their mortgage, and they contact you, you know, what might you suggest that person take that $300 and put it into today? Like, in today's market with what's going on and everything, what would you do with that?
Yeah, you know, human emotions and behavior and money are always the exact opposite. And so what I mean by that is, you know, the famous term is buy low, sell high. And if you think back over the last 12 months or so, heck, going back to GameStop and all that crazy stuff with the stock, everybody was like that fear of missing out. That's when, as the stock market had continued to grow, people were putting more money in or putting dollars in that they maybe couldn't afford to lose because they just didn't want to miss out on everybody else getting rich. And generally speaking, what goes up comes down, what goes down comes up. And so even on the high end, people were overly emotionally investing. On the flip side, you know, as the market was down 22% this year, it's had a nice little bounce back up over the last month or so. But as the stock market's down 15% to 20%, that's typically the time where people look at their statements and they see red numbers and they think, I don't want to do this anymore. What am I doing? That's typically the buy low time. Right. Yeah. And again, with the crystal ball being broken, it's hard to say this is the exact bottom or this is the exact top. And so what we recommend people do with that $300 a month is to invest a regular and a comfortable amount over time. You're never going to get the best of the best in that situation, but you're also not going to get the worst of the worst. You're going to get something that's similar to the average of what your investment lineup is going to be. So if you're 100% in the stock market, it's going to be a little bit higher over time on average. If you're 100% in the money market, it's going to be a considerably lower over time, but it's going to not waver up and down. But essentially, not having to pick the best time, number one, to get in, but also the best time to get out. If you just pick that average over time, historically, you've done a really good job. And so we typically recommend that as people have extra dollars above and what they would like to keep liquid, or what we would call their emergency fund, they save those into an account that is based on how aggressive or conservative they want to be, maybe 80% in the market and 20% in a cash municipal bond type of scenario there, where those are fully liquid dollars they can go get whenever they want. But these aren't the 20% down here, or the 40, depending on how conservative or aggressive you're going to be, they aren't actively invested in the stock market. So in a year like this year, potentially where the market's down 15%, you're not taking then money from that account that's already down, that portion of the account. You're taking it from the safer portion as we wait for stocks to grow back up. Mm-hmm. So it provides, again, that same optionality, that ability to weather a storm or take advantage.
Right. And that's all by like the way you have that on that scale where you can pull it from here or put it back into there and make sure that it pieces together properly. Hey, quick question on the investment side. So like Ryan's analogy there, if you got somebody, what's like the minimum amount? If somebody comes in and says, hey, I want to start investing and they sit down, what can you guys do work with?
You know, one of our philosophies has always been that we're not going to turn away anybody that wants to have a better financial future, right? Anybody that wants to make an effort at improving their future, we don't necessarily have a minimum. I would say kind of our minimum is if we like each other and we can actually have a good relationship going forward. We have to find, I'm considerably better at my job if I have the facts. And financial advisors ask typically pretty personal questions that you wouldn't just go talk to your banker or your I don't know, hairstylist or barber about. But that being said, in terms of a minimum total number of dollars, we don't carry those. There are things for us, like there are certain numbers that we have to eventually get to become profitable because we have fixed costs. But if somebody wants to actively make their lives better, especially in the local area and the communities that we're in, good word is worth more than anything to us. And so you don't have to have, you know, $10 million to come in and talk to an advisor for the first time. Typically, our best work is with people that aren't quite there yet or are just getting to a certain point that they need some help because we can help get them to that next level as well. Right. So the longest winded answer to your question is, we don't have minimums. That's very intentional. It's kind of, if you like us and we like you, then we can make some things
happen. Let's work on it and see. Yeah. It's good because, you know, there's people out there sometimes that just think that it's, from what we even see in our side of it is if a 401k is offered through their employer, not, and what's crazy is not 100% of them take it, but some of them do, but that's as far as they ever go with financial advising because they're like, I don't know. I don't have enough money, right, to invest it. That's why I was trying to figure out, like, you got to start someplace. And if you, like you said, if you work together, then let's get you on a path to move.
And we've written about that in the past. And we certainly have clients from all different walks, right? We have clients that are fully retired and have sold their business and doing whatever it is that they'd like to do. We have clients that, are still in college and they just really got into investing and kind of everything in between. And so, you know, like the idea is that you can kind of make this what you need to make it. And we've written about this in our blogs in the past on, you know, kind of that misconception that you got to have a whole bunch of money to go see a financial advisor.
Right.
And some of that is that there are going to be firms that have $1 million or $2 million minimums that if you don't have this much money, they're not going to even open the door for you. I think, you know, those are kind of going away a little bit more as investing has kind of sophisticated. Those high fee, high dollar type of solutions or shops have kind of slowed down because most people realize that if somebody's willing to get some help and raise their hand and ask for it, it's very profitable to help them because you never know who they know and who they're going to talk to as well.
Right.
Referrals are such a big part of this industry because there isn't a ton of trust. And so if somebody asks you, hey, who do you use? And they say, Billy Cardwell with Aurora Financial Strategies, that already builds a level of trust. My friend uses him or my family member uses him. He must be at least decent at best. Hopefully he's good. But then they can come in and talk to us and sit down and have that conversation.
Well, hey, if you're joining the show now, we're talking with Billy. We've got his contact information down below, Aurora Financial Strategies, his phone number. Give him a call. He's not just a great financial planner. He's a friend of both Steve and myself. We can't say enough good things about you, Billy. And
I appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate you being on the show today. And then, hey, if you like what you see, share it, like it, give us a thumbs up, subscribe, follow us. We do this every Tuesday.
Put comments down below. We'll answer questions.
Oh, yeah.
Even answer questions. So next week, hey, thanks again, Billy, for being on today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Next week, we're going to be talking with Mark Fisher from, he's the CEO of the Indiana Association of Home Builders. It's going to be a big show Tuesday at noon. We'll see you then.